When I was a kid, I'm going to tell a little story here. I was the oldest, and it fell to me as our family was going from one place to another that I became the navigator, right? This was in the dark days before we had any of our current electronics, right, with maps. You guys remember these, right? Yeah, so I don't know what the deal was. So especially if we're going cross-country someplace, man, I would get this massive map that was kind of like bigger than me. You guys remember what I'm talking about, right? Or if we're really fancy, we had the Rand McNally. You remember these atlases, right? Yeah, some of you guys are like, yeah. Some of you guys are like, what are you even talking about? I actually have a picture of that, actually, if you can go to the next slide. So one of these things, remember these? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? And it was a long trip. If it was a long trip, you know, again, I'm like 10 years old. I had no business doing this, but this is what I was doing, right? And I like kind of trace it out, and then as we're going, you know, I'm trying to, you know, follow along, and then I look at even mile markers, and when we got to like big cities, it got like super nervous, right? And so we had to make quick turns, and one of my parents was driving, and you know, we'd eventually miss an exit or something, and then you go to a gas station, remember this, right? You aren't going there for gas. You're going there to ask directions, right? That was where we went. We'd pull over the side of the road. You pull over. No, I know where we are. No, pull over. You know those arguments you may have had or your parents had. Ask directions to get figured, like, where we're going, right? It was a whole thing, and it was stressful, and it was tedious. We didn't know where we were going. Was I ever glad when this invention, the GPS, right? If you grew up with one of these, you have no idea how hard it was to get anywhere before this thing, right? Man, I was so happy when this happened, right? And now we have them in our pockets. Now I use them to go almost everywhere, right? They're so outstanding. However, these things aren't always right, right? Right? They're not, and we all probably have stories of where we were driving, and then all of a sudden we are at a ferry, or we're at a dead end, or we're like, I'm in Pennsylvania, and I was supposed to be in Connecticut. Okay, these type of things. There's a story I read this week about a family who is using their GPS, of course, going from Pennsylvania to Utah. So a long trip, and they're just following the little voice telling them what to do. Well, the little voice didn't get it right, and so there it went from a major highway down to a smaller road, down to like a minimum maintenance road. And they were looking around, they're like, well, this can't be right. But they trusted the little voice from the sky, right? And it led them into this gully, and it was snowing, and they got stuck and stranded in the snow in the mountains of Utah. Ended up being there for 2 days without any food, and they kind of wandered around, and finally they were found and were rescued, but they had frostbite and they had lots of issues, and it was not a real good thing. So having a faithful guide matters. And the gospel and scripture are our faithful guides. And as we turn to the book of Galatians this morning, and we're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to tell us what the purpose of this message today is. The purpose of this message is to protect you from being deceived by false believers, and that's a loaded phrase, into following another gospel, okay? That's what we're talking about today from our passage, right? That we would be protected from being deceived by false believers into following another gospel. And so we want to stay on the right path, and we must be careful. Now, in one ditch, if you can just imagine our path, and two ditches, and one side of the ditch, some of us are leaning towards that way, okay? This is the Christ plus group for salvation, which would include things like Roman Catholicism, which include things like, I call it Christian Judaism, and I'll talk about this. Being a Christian but doing or following Old Testament laws would include things like Protestant legalism, right? Being legalistic, Christ plus. And that is a ditch that some of us lean towards. And don't worry, everyone's going to get their toes stepped on today. You're like, oh, that's not me, okay? Well, there's another ditch on the other side, which frankly, to be honest, more in this room are bent towards, which would be Christian, liberalism, that you're just bent that way, or I would say Christian mysticism, okay, that we're bent into that area, okay? And by the way, those two things, Christian liberalism or liberalism and mysticism, are primarily addressed in the book of James. We're going to be in the book of James after Christmas. My wife is psyched for this, right? We'll be talking about this, okay? But in this book of Galatians, the primary focus is on what is the gospel and those who have tried to add to grace something else, okay? And so the early church was wrestling with this issue, okay? Jesus, of course, was a Jew. He fulfilled the Old Testament law, and the gospel went out to both Jews and Gentiles, where Peter was the initial representative to the Jewish people. Paul was called to minister to Gentiles, which are non-Jewish people. Well, there is this issue of people coming behind when Paul and others preached the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, saying, yes, you need to believe, but also you need to follow Jewish tradition, and you need to give the sign of the covenant, which in the Old Testament was circumcision. You need to do this, so it's Christ plus. And the church in Galatia, that region, was struggling with this. Like, what is the gospel? And what did Christ come to do? And what is grace? And how does this work? And so there was this tension, and the church there started to sway towards this legalistic Jewish understanding of what salvation is. That is, Christ plus. And Paul was going directly at that thing and saying, hey, let me tell you, the gospel I received is from a revelation by Jesus Christ. Hey, let me tell you what the gospel is, that God rescues us from this present evil age through Christ. And he emphasizes grace and how grace is the foundation. And here's a Christian term called justification, a legal term, that we are saved not because of what we do, but because of what Christ did, okay? And we can say amen to that, right? We believe, we receive by his Spirit that starts to transform us so that we can walk in accordance to the Spirit. And Paul gets to that in Galatians chapter 5. We'll get there in a number of weeks, but he talks about this. So this is what is happening here. So in chapter 2, after Paul establishes some of these things, he starts to share his personal testimony. We heard some of that last week. He now tells another story. He says, hey, let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. And so he tells us about a meeting that happened 14 years after he was saved, after he had been preaching the gospel, to convey, saying, hey, listen, myself and the other apostles are on the same page. And he says some important things for us today to, again, help us not be deceived by false believers. And again, that is a loaded phrase, okay? So here we are, Galatians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read up to verse 10. So I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to come back and look at it. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you. We're going to turn to page 1001. So this is... Someone's excited about 1,000. Oh, there you go. Tom. Bless Tom. Tom was speaking most of the summer, and he said, bro, put the page number in there. So I'm putting the page number in there. That's why he's excited, and he should be excited, right? Can't assume everyone knows what's in this book, some of this book. This might be the first time you open it up, okay? So here we are, Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. I'm just going to read this section. It'll be up here. We're reading in the NIV version. So here we go. Then after 14 years, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, I went up again to Jerusalem. Now this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. Now, I went in response to a revelation and, meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Now, this matter arose because some false believers, here we go, because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. Okay, that's an important sentence. Now, we did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Now, as for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. Amen, right? And they added nothing to my message. Now, on the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, that is, the non-Jewish folks. Now, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, which is Peter, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Okay? So, we're going to circle back and we have to ask ourselves, then how can we not be deceived by false believers? They look like there are, but they're not, okay? So not just how can they not be deceived, but how can we in our society of many, 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 many voices, 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 and opinions, opinions, opinions that keep echoing back to us all of the time from various places. Of course, from our screens that we all carry in our pocket, right, to folks that we interact with. And there are variants of the gospel, and we as believers also must be clear to what the true and trustworthy God has to say, which is, of course, the Bible and the infused by the Holy Spirit, right? We must look at these things. So, number one, the gospel is to be preserved, okay? And this is what was done at that time, and this is what we also must hold to pass it on to others. So I have to ask a question. So what's going on here, right? And again, Paul had been preaching and ministering at this point of the writing of this letter for 14 years. Now, Christ himself, and this is interesting, okay? Christ himself, he says, by revelation, he was told to go to Jerusalem to connect with the other apostles to make sure that they were on the same page or on the same page he was on. He says, so that I would not be running his race in vain. He was saying, okay, guys, we need to see. This is the gospel I've been preaching. I received it by revelation, okay? Are we on the same page? And so, in the sovereignty of God, Jesus could have told him, yes, you are, which is interesting to me. He could have said, yeah, you're good, keep going. He said, no, go and have a conversation. And later on in verse 9, talks about three people who were there, right? It was James, it was John, and it was Peter. Now, between the four of them, Paul, James, John, and Peter, they've written almost every book in the New Testament minus five, okay? There was a lot at stake here. And so they were meeting together and talking about what the gospel is all about. Now, at this time, Paul had a ministry partner named Barnabas, and you can read more of their story in the book of Acts. I would encourage you to do that. They also brought a young convert whose name was Titus, okay? And by the way, there's a book in the New Testament called Titus that Paul wrote to this young man. Titus was there, and Titus was not of Jewish descent, and they kind of brought him along as they were training him as a kind of a test case. Okay, guys, let's put our theology into practice, okay? Here is Titus, a non-Jewish person, okay? Now, there were people there that said they were false believers, okay? Was trying to check out, do these guys live according to the law, the ceremonial law of the Old Testament? Do they follow this civil law? Are they following the laws? Which included things like eating only certain foods or wearing only certain clothes and being circumcised as a sign of the covenant. And if this is all like not familiar to you, it's in the Old Testament where God spoke these things to Abraham, to Moses, wrote these things down. And they said, oh my word, these believers, Paul and his companions, are not obeying the Jewish law. John, James, Peter, what say you? Okay. And they fought against this false teaching, saying that, well, you must believe in Jesus, but you also must follow the Jewish law. They did not give in to that for a moment, okay? Jesus plus anything else for salvation equals nothing. Paul later on in this chapter says, if we could be righteous or we could be justified by observing the law, then Christ died for nothing. Okay. Let that sink in a little bit, right? It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. It's not by works that no one can boast. No one after they die, when we stand in front of God, say, well, you must let me in because I'm awesome, right? I'm sin free. I didn't break the law, right? You might be good, but you're not Christ good. You're not perfect. Paul tried, and Paul did tell his story. In other places, he tells his story. He really tried. But remember when Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount? You guys know this one? Matthew 5, 6, 7? He wasn't just, Jesus didn't leave it on the action level, which actions matter, right? Like, you should not murder. We can say amen to that, right? No, he just didn't leave it there. He brought it down to our heart. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. But if you're angry with your brother, with your neighbor, you have murdered them in your... Whew. And he goes on and on and on. Right? All the Old Testament, by the way, the sacrifices ultimately pointed to the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law. That is one of the reasons when we read about the crucifixion and subsequent resurrection, at the crucifixion, the temple, right? You know, they had this big veil separating the people from God, was torn in two, not from the bottom like someone, a man could do this, but from the top to the bottom, declaring that now the presence of God can be with the people of God because of the grace of God seen in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Let that sink in. This is good news. That all that believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And some people think, well, I have to clean up my act before I become a Christian. You will never be clean enough. Just come to Christ. Right? He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll begin the process of transforming you or conforming you into the image of His Son. Right? Romans 8, this is the ultimate goal of what Christ does. Religion comes from the inside. Excuse me, comes from the outside to the inside. But belief and God's Spirit changes us from the inside to the outside. That's what matters most. And so they fought against this Christian Judaism, okay? This still happens today. None of you have heard about it, apparently. You're like, well, you say, yes, it does. It does, right? People have had people who are in here, right? They hear it, it's like, oh man, I need to be a super Christian or a real Christian. So therefore, I must follow Old Testament law. And there's groups in Rockford that are there, right? They are. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, right? These voices are still calling, hey, Jesus, plus, 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 you got to do all of this stuff, right? By grace you've been saved, right? Well, we say, well, we're not that way. We're not that way in here, right? Right, we're there's two great, and I'm going to step on toes. Okay, just hold on. Okay, what I call Protestant legalism. Right, my mom grew up in this, by the way. Okay, it was Pentecostal holiness. Right, when she was younger, and some of you might remember this, you might have grown up in this, because she was a Christian. She had to come to church. Her hair had to be boom a certain way. Right, she always had to wear dresses. Right, couldn't go to movies. Don't even think about alcohol, right? And by the way, you cannot play cards. Seriously, because it was a, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Right? Don't think about having a tattoo. Some of you are like, You can have tattoos, it's okay. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Right? God looks at the heart. Hallelujah is right, right? Now I'm going to step on some more toes. Let's talk a little bit about Roman Catholicism. Kind of quiet. Okay. Grace Plus. Okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to get this right. Okay, Roman Catholicism's teaching is that one must cooperate, quote, with God's grace infused at baptism, okay, into a person, so that that person may engage in good works and merit eternal life. Now, if that person reaches to the end of their life in a state of grace, he or she will ultimately be saved, though probably not immediately. Due to the stain of sin, he or she needs to be purged of defects. He or she must first suffer punishment and purification in purgatory. Then, being perfected, he or she may enter God's presence in heaven. That's not biblical. You can't earn your way to heaven. Now, the fruit of the Spirit matters. Right? There needs to be fruit. And Paul talks about this, Galatians 5. Okay, doesn't mean, well, I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to be saved. However, if you are saved and the Spirit is in you, then His fruit will be produced through your life, things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and mercy and self-control. Okay? Purgatory is not in the Bible. You don't have to like, oh, and well, you weren't quite good enough, so you're going to have to spend whatever amount of time in purgatory to work it off so that you're now qualified to be in heaven. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. And it's not okay, and it's not the gospel. You say, Dave, I don't agree. Let's have a conversation. Please bring your Bible. Show me where this is. Right? It goes in contrary to what the gospel is, what Scripture is about. And so there are continual voices that sound really good, right? Well, they know their Bible, or they know their Bible, or they know their Bible. Do you know your Bible? Okay. If you have ever have questions if a doctrine is good or not, okay, you can talk to me. We have other pastors. That's why we have elders around here. Hello. Not just to come and pray for you, make decisions, right? Help discern, right? Hey, is this good or is this not? Okay. We always turn back to the Bible. Is it there or is it not? If it's not there, then it's not good. Right? And if it's Jesus plus, then it's not the gospel. Okay. And these voices are here all the time. So Paul is saying in this passage, listen, we were here, we conferred, there's Titus. Titus was not circumcised because he doesn't need to, because it's unnecessary to be saved, justified, made right with God. It's belief in what Jesus did. He is the intercessor between God and man. There are no others. Believe in Him, be in Him, receive His Spirit, and then receive what God has for you. Granted, we produce the fruit keeping in righteousness, and we will get to that when we get there, but you must understand this. Don't let anyone tell you anything different than it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Nobody. Let that be a solid foundation. That's the right voice. This is why we listen to the Bible. This is why we look to the book. This is why we gravitate towards the gospel and what God has given to us. This is true, and let it be preserved. Preserved. Preserved for us and then through us to others. You hear me, okay? The Bible will be written, but there are times in history this thing had to be rediscovered, right? Because we got into nonsense land listening to things that weren't correct. Okay? The gospel must be preserved. Now, coupled with that, the gospel must be presented, okay? I'm a pastor. I alliterate things, okay? You won't remember this, but it must be preserved. Well, maybe you won't. It must be presented, okay? If we look to verses 6 through 9, so those are the first verses, okay? If you look to 6 through 9, so it says, yes, it is preserved. We believe in this message. And then they were recognizing that each person has been entrusted with a certain task. They realize that. Peter said, you know what? My primary grace that God has given me is to minister to the Jewish people. That's where he primarily focused on. That doesn't mean he didn't proclaim the gospel to non-Jewish people, but that was his primary focus. Paul, His primary focus was to the Gentiles, saying, God has given me grace to talk to these folks. Not that he didn't talk to the Jewish people, because when he entered in a new region, if there was a synagogue, he went there first, the gospel first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, but he focused on the Gentiles. Okay, so what does that have to do with us? If you are a believer and you have received the grace of God for salvation, you understand what it is, you have believed and you have committed yourself to following the Lord Jesus Christ, then you also have been given a grace to carry this message to places, right? Holly, you remember Holly who was up here, teacher in West Middle School? I could never teach in West Middle School. I would probably end up behind bars. I'm just saying it how it is, right? She has a grace to minister, and I'm so glad that she does this, and other teachers do that. I'm so glad that they do that, right? Why? Because that is her mission field. You have been given a grace to minister in a sphere that God has given to you, right? I don't know what it is, right? God placed you in the neighborhood that he placed you in so that you would convey the gospel to your neighbors. Well, I want to move. Don't we all? Why do you think you're here? Well, to go to heaven. Yeah, but no. If the only goal was to be with Christ, if the only goal to be with Christ in paradise, we would get saved and then we would get raptured or die or whatever, right? That doesn't happen. Often, people don't get necessarily to believe in Christ right before they die. Sometimes they do. But often it happens some other point. What's the deal with the rest of the time then? What are we supposed to do? Become like Christ and communicate Christ. Right? That's it. It's not to build a fortune, not to try to preserve your hair. Why are you laughing? No, just kidding. Can't take any of that stuff with you anyway. To know Christ and to make him known. And you're not going to, you won't be called everywhere, but you will be called somewhere, right? God might ask you to go to Nigeria for 5 weeks or 5 years or five decades, or he might not, right? Well, I'm going to preach the gospel when I get on the mission field. If you're not doing it now, you won't do it then. We live in the world, people, right? I don't know about you, but I have never gotten a traffic jam on Sunday morning. Ever, right? I live south on Broadway. All right, south of Broadway from here. I just go directly south, right? I have to cross Broadway. Most of the time, I have to wait and wait and wait. People are going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sunday morning, ooh. You and I have an opportunity not just to receive God's grace, to preserve the gospel, but to present it to others. These guys recognize this. Peter, you go there. Paul, I'll go here, right? We'll work together. This is verse 9. The right hand of fellowship, right? Gave each other the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given me or to each other, and they agreed to work together. Gospel-centered churches work together, right? Cooperation, right? Not in competition, right? I pray for the churches in Rockford that are presenting the gospel, as should you, right? Now, not every church does that, okay? That's the sad fact of our reality, but we are to work together. Missions organizations work together because we all together as the body of Christ are looking to make sure that the Great Commission is fulfilled, that every nation everywhere will have an opportunity to know who Jesus is and what he offers to us through his sinless life. Present the gospel. Start in your neighborhood and then go to the nations. Speaking these things matter. And not just speaking, we also are to live them out. And we can say amen to that, right? What do people believe more, your words or your actions? What do they believe more typically? Yeah, isn't that the truth, right? Now, none of us are going to live the gospel perfectly. I'm just saying that, okay? But we endeavor to follow Christ, to do as he would do. Christ is the head of the body. This is metaphorically speaking. We are the hands and feet of Christ, right? Christ, according to the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, right? Dwelt among us. That's right. Dwelt among us. Grace and truth. Right? You and I have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ. And you say, I don't like your neighbors. That doesn't matter. Faith must exhibit itself in love. Right? That's why you live where you live. That's why you work where you work. Well, I'm just here to make a buck. Look a little higher, friend. Why are you here? Shed light, present truth, represent Christ by the grace of God, which sometimes takes courage, sometimes takes humility, but all the time active. And it's interesting, at the tail end of this passage, verse 10, Paul is saying, hey, listen, these guys, they didn't add anything to our message. They didn't require Titus to be circumcised, said you're all good, but they had a request for us, right? All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. The very thing I had been eager to do all along. This is the gospel being, and this is not a great word, but I like to alliterate, performed, right? Has to be lived out. The gospel must be lived out. In particular, to those who are the most vulnerable. Okay. Are you hearing me? Okay. And there's a lot of people in that category. And sometimes you're in that category. Right? Simple things like Holly presented to us. Makes a difference. You all have too much stuff. Remember, I've talked about this to myself. I've been purging, right? Why? Because my house is too cluttery? Well, that's a part of it. But the other part of it is the joy of giving stuff away, right? Why do you think we do Operation Christmas Child? Well, why don't we just present the gospel? Yeah, you need to present the gospel, and they present the truth of the gospel well. Coupled with toys and toothbrushes. With bows and bears. God so loves the world, and so do we. We've encountered Christ, and it's transformed our hearts. We may not know your name, know the place where you live. We may know this is the boxes communicate. We don't know these kids, Right? You might have opportunity to talk to them. Why do we do this? God's transformed us. And this message matters and impacted us. So therefore, we communicate and we demonstrate. You hearing me? Right? We go in disaster relief. Right? I'm so glad that the Christian church often does really, really well with this. Right? I read an article in Time magazine a little bit ago that by an atheist, and he was saying, you know what? I don't believe the Christian message, but you know what? I've gone down to New Orleans. I've gone down to these other places. You know who's there? The Christians are there. Right? Let us be like gloriously generous. Right? Let us be trusting God to say, you know what? I'm going to give some time. It's not just money. It's time or energy or effort. Let's do these things because they matter, right? So mow your neighbor's lawn, okay? Serve somewhere, connect with somebody, feed their cats. I'll leave it there. Bring your neighbor's dog biscuits, or whatever it is, okay? They're saying, hey, make sure you remember the poor. Paul's like, dude, we are so on that. So we do this, right? As a demonstration that God has changed our hearts from being one thing, self-centered, to being another thing, Christ-centered. And so that we live this way. These things matter. So I'm going to invite up the worship team, and I'm going to conclude this way, okay? Going all the way back to the beginning. The gospel is our map. It is the voice that leads us. It is our compass. It's our true guide. Paul in this letter knew that if those who living in this region of Galatia trusted a false guide, even if it looked official or religious, they would be led into slavery, not freedom. Let us keep our eyes on the map, so to speak, listening to the voice of the Spirit presented to us through the Bible in the gospel. Hang on to these things. The good news is this: Jesus is enough. Nothing more needs to be added. Nothing more can be added. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. He didn't say, "I am finished." It, the mission, is finished, ushering in grace in the church age, changing our hearts from the inside, helping us become more and more like him. Christ alone saves. And when the gospel is preserved, when the gospel is presented, when the gospel is performed, demonstrated, it's a powerful message. Keeps us on the right road, but also points people to our true home, right? It's with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So please don't trust the wrong guide. Don't let false believers enslave you. Trust Christ alone. Walk in his freedom. Extend his grace with both your words and your works, what you do. Christ will never lead you astray. Okay? Let's pray. God, we do thank you for grace that is so amazing. Father, I pray for my friends who are here in this room, God, those who are online, Lord, that we together would understand the gospel, that we will entrust ourselves to you, Jesus, God's one and only beloved Son. God, help us not to stray from the right good path into various ditches on other side as voices continually call us to follow them. God, may we only hear the voice of our good shepherd, right? Jesus, you said that you are the good shepherd and the sheep hear your voice. God, give us ears to hear only you. To protect us, preserve us, God, ignite us, Lord, to proclaim and to live and to follow you in your good and glorious grace. In Jesus' name, amen.